Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Mark with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Mark chapter 14, starting in verse 1, ending in verse 10, where we see that we are encouraged to not teach our children and our families how to necessarily do or have religion. We are encouraged through today's text to teach our families how to walk in the ways of Jesus, just to sit in his presence, know him deeply, and walk with him all the days of our lives. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Mark chapter 14, verse 1.
So there should be that, like, well, I guess I'm not above this, but don't stay there. I mean, I get all sorts of weird criticism. I keep getting more and more trolls. So I don't know what it means. I don't know. I'm just assuming that, like, the Holy Spirit's wanting to do something through me and the opposition's rising up. I don't know. But we got people from California. We got people in Rochester and everything, you know, between that have Jesus Christ and other things in their profile. And then they want to talk trash about me on our stuff where our media team has to delete comments. It's just, I mean, so, okay, Lord, like what they say, most of it I think is a joke. But Lord, I don't know, because my heart is deceitful and wicked above all else. Who can know it? So Lord, if there's truth to my ripped jeans, which I just so happened to wear again tonight after I saw, you know, it's just whatever. Then Lord, I receive it. But my shirt is buttoned up. Here I am preaching. And all glory to God, because you know something? Man looks at the outward. God looks at the heart. So get lost if you're messing with people. But there's these complaints here. There's always going to be these complaints. They murmur against it. If you're going to do something great for Jesus, you're going to be criticized. People aren't going to understand this type of love. People are not going to. But you know what's going on still? The aroma is still filling the room. The aroma of her worship is still filling the room. And you know what else is crazy? When he's in Gethsemane on his face praying, sweating great drops of blood, begging the Father if there be any other way for him to eradicate the sins of the world, then let the way of the cross pass from him. As he's praying that prayer and he's sweating, I got to believe that the aroma of the spikenard was dripping down his face. And then the next day when he'd be hanging on the, he goes from Gethsemane to Golgotha, and when he's hanging on that tree on Golgotha, I got to believe when he's hanging there, being crucified for our sins, so mangled that he's unrecognizable, Isaiah says, as a man, I got to believe there's still something that remains, and there is that smell of Mary's spikenard on his face, on his ripped-off beard flesh, as the thorns would drive into his skull. They couldn't smell it, but Jesus could smell it. And if Jesus can smell it, and it puts a smile on his face, I'm good. If my life is like a sweet-smelling aroma arising before him, if he's beholding me from heaven and his reaction is, that's my boy, like that's my son. If that's like, if he's pleased up there, like ready, he's almost getting up because of it, I'm good. I don't care what the trolls say. I don't care what people say. I don't, right? Like that should be all of us here tonight. I don't need my brothers and my sister and my wife and my kids to understand. Remember David dancing into the street, worshiping the Lord? And his wife, Saul's daughter, she scoffed at him. She's like, what is he doing? He's a shame. He's an embarrassment. Because listen, when you know the way of Jesus, when you're learning his way, when you're learning his measure, his tendencies, his nature, you're going to go deeper. It's going to be so much more than the surface. And there are going to be people who stand back and because of their own insecurities, because they don't get it. They have to talk about you. That's how weak they are. And you have to say, Lord, as long as you and get a smile on your face because of my life, God, I am good. You young people that are here tonight, man, you're trying to be a virgin. And even the youth group or even the kids in the church are saying to you, a virgin. It's 2021. Who's a virgin anymore? Are you guys in your 20s, 30s, you're trying not to live with your boyfriend, your girlfriend before you get married, and everyone's like, you're crazy. You got to test drive the car before you buy the car. And you're just trying to hang in there. Listen, there is no thing that you will break for that's your spikenard. Lord, I'm this is my life. This is my everything. And there is no way that you're going to outgive him. Like, there's just no way. So, like, you just keep pouring it out. All that you are, like, no matter what it is that you are doing, and he is going to outbless you in such a way that if he were to tell you, you wouldn't even believe him. It's unthinkable. Habakkuk says, if I were to tell you the works that I'm going to do when you follow me and you seek me, you can't even fathom how great it's going to be. The plans of God for those who walk in his purposes. So you just keep pouring it out. You just keep being broken and breaking it open at his feet, at his head, and he's going to blow you away. So I love what Jesus does here. I don't know how he said it in verse 6. I do not want to taint his image to you. I'll just tell you how I read it, though. You do what you want with it. I just don't think it was like a soft, let her alone. I think it was like as firm can be. I think it was stern. I think there was eye contact made, and I think he scanned the room. I think it was let her alone. And then eyebrows up and I think it ticked Judas off. Because obviously he was speaking to Judas because Judas is the one who spoke, John said. Because it's from this scene, he gets up and leaves and goes and betrays the Lord for the amount of what a slave would be bought for, 30 pieces of silver. Let her alone, why do you embarrass her? Verse 6. She has wrought a good work on me. The word good there is beautiful. She's done a beautiful work. This is beautiful. Are you kidding me? This is beautiful. His oil is dripping down his face, his beard. It's on his feet. This is beautiful. What are you talking about? And I love this. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. You defend yourself. There's your defense. You don't defend yourself. You stay quiet. Truth doesn't fear proof. You just keep walking the light. The Lord says, I got your back. I'll defend you. I'll vindicate you. I'll let it out when it needs to be let out. Don't you worry about it. Leave her alone, he says. She's done a beautiful work. For you have the poor. You know, you want to talk all spiritual. You have the poor with you always. And he's quoting from Deuteronomy 15:11. You got the poor are always going to be there. He says, but listen, what she has done, this will not always be an opportunity. You can always do good to the poor, but me, you do not have always. Like worshiping me, having this connection from your heart to my heart, this intimacy, this is an opportunity that is passing by. That's our lives, y'all. That's our lives. There are these moments in our lives where the Lord is calling us to intimacy. Okay, so my daughter Olivia was a part of my fast on Monday. She joined me in praying and seeking the Lord. I didn't even ask her to. I didn't even know she was doing it. The Lord spoke to her before he spoke to me. It was the same thing he spoke, and he spoke it to my wife. And they're eating Chick-fil-A. I'm eating my finger as we're driving. And this conversation is being talked about Monday night. And she begins to say, Daddy, I think the whole reason that this whole thing happened was so that Jesus can show me how he speaks. Like that's the way. There we go. Like that's it. I don't want it to be that my 14-year-old says, well, I went to church because my dad was the pastor and we had to go. I want it to be like, man, I fell in love with Jesus because my dad fell in love with Jesus. I saw him on his knees. I saw him read his Bible. I saw him live Christ. Like, I want what he has. And, you know, that's what we're seeing here. That's what we want. That's what we're after. That's what we're after. Jesus is like, this is beautiful to me. This. Not miss opportunity. There's an opportunity for intimacy. Listen, the Lord is calling us all to opportunities of intimacy. Don't miss them because they're going to be those moments that are passing us by. And unless we see it, Mary's the only one who sees it. She's the only one who's got the read on the defense. Everyone else is in a huddle talking garbage about her. She's the master's minority. Some of you, you're the master's minority. It's Jesus plus you. And if it's Jesus plus you, then you're the master's majority. Because if God is for us, then who can be against us? She's done this beautiful work. This is precious. You know, the poor you're always going to have. And true worship's going to lead to charity. So, like, you're going to give to the poor. And you should give to the poor. But that's not what this is about, and you know it, Judas. You know it, Peter. You know it, James. You know it, John. Enough of this. This is beautiful what she has just done. She has done what she could. That's a whole sermon. Dylan, you need a sermon sometime, just preach verse 8, the opening phrase. Because then you say to the audience this, have you? That's your whole sermon. She did what she could. That's a whole sermon. And I got a my Bible, what about me? I got a me there, question mark. Am I doing what I could? I can't be your motor. I can't come with you through the week. I don't know if you're doing what you could. I got to every day say, Lord, am I doing what I could? She did what she could in a room where nobody else was doing it. Young person, keep doing what only you could do for Jesus, even if nobody else is doing it. Keep going against the flow. Keep going against the grain. Just keep doing what you could do. Trust it to the Lord. Don't worry about the rest of the space that you're in. Don't worry about the flow of the culture. Don't worry about the school. Don't worry about the nation. Don't worry about Washington. You don't control any of those things. Just you do what you could do. If we all do what we could do, man, there's a powerful force to be reckoned with in this room. If we would just say tonight, Lord, here I am. I want to do what I could do for you. That's it, Lord. I can't control if my wife's going to get on fire like I am. I can't control if my kids are going to follow. I can't control if my family's going to fill the pew with me, Lord. But here I am. I'm going to do what I could do for you. I love what the Lord says here. She has done what she could do. Have you? Are you? Are you doing what you could do for Jesus? She is. And she has come aforehand to anoint my body for the burying. She didn't just do this emotionally. She didn't just do this haphazardly. She listened. This makes me feel good. You know what that means? Nobody else listened to Jesus. Because, sometimes you do get a little ripped off when I guest speak, not at this church. Other church, you think, does anybody listen? You know, and then the guest speaker comes in and says what you've been saying for 86 weeks, and then everybody listens. And you say, I've been saying that. And you wonder, do people listen? Jesus, they didn't listen. He keeps telling them he's about to die. 3 days later, he's going to rise again. And you know what their response is? Yeah, but who's going to be the greatest? Over and over and over, there's one who listened. And because she listened, she knew. And because she knew she was in tune. And watch this. Listen to me. Watch this. And because she was in tune, she ministered to the body of Jesus. We are so about Jesus ministering to us. What about us ministering to him? What about us lavishing love on him that is unparalleled by the seats next to us, by the churches down the road? What about us giving it all up for the one who gave it all up for us? She listened. That's what made her dynamic. That's what made her super. She watched his face. She knew it wasn't a game. She knew her time was short with him. There were just days before he'd die for her. She believed his word. She believed his word, he's going to die. So I knew he was going to die. So I broke open the flask and I poured it all out. And I was okay with not being able to preserve it. I was okay with not having a secure future. I was okay of not having this on my wedding day for my wedding bed or my brother's burial. I was okay with not having a dowry because I have Jesus and this opportunity is a once in a lifetime. And when it's gone, it's gone. So I'm pouring it out right now. Why the opportunity is in front of me, why his head is in front of me, why his feet lay out. I imagine how she snuck in the room and there were his feet. It seems like kind of creepy and weird, but it's beautiful. She must have thought, what an opportunity. She comes in with this alabaster. It's as though she just breaks it open. She knew there's no going back, there's no return. She pours on his head, she gets to his feet, she gets low, a place she was comfortable with. She was often there, and she begins to rub his feet with her hair. And I believe there must have been tears. And I'm not sure that there weren't tears in his face. All the pouring out he had done, one got it. I just want to be that one. I just want to be in sync with my Savior. I just want to be. I don't care what other pastors are doing. I don't care what the congregants are going to do. If they don't want to come with me, I'm going. I want to know the way. This is beautiful. That's the Lord. He's like, this is beautiful. What she did, she did what she could do. She's come before unto. She's anointing my body for birth. Guess what? I got to tell you something. Mark 16, end of the book. Guess what happens? Some other Marys, another common name, come to the tomb. Easter Sunday, you know what they wanted to do? This. They wanted to anoint his body. Guess who wasn't there? This Mary. She wasn't there. And guess who else wasn't there? Jesus. Opportunity was missed. They went to do what she already did. Verily I say to you, verse 9, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, Jesus is prophesying here, and we're fulfilling his prophecy in this room tonight. Look what he says, this also that she has done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Crazy what people will do to be remembered, and over time, inevitably, sadly, they're forgotten. But you know something? The pathway to lasting honor is to honor Christ. The pathway to lasting honor, you want there to be this lasting honor after you're gone, should Jesus tarry, then honor Christ. Like, leave that to your kids. Leave that as your legacy. Leave that behind. Leave that to the community. Man, that person, they honored Christ. And Jesus, here he puts a stamp of approval on it. He says, man, this is what I'm all about. This is what pleases me. She's going to be spoken of. This is so good that she's going to be spoken of throughout the world, wherever the gospel is preached. And here we are fulfilling it tonight. Now, Judas Iscariot, who's in contrast to all of this, Judas, whose name means praise, isn't that ironic? He's not praising. His last name's not Iscariot. Ish is son. Kariah is where he was from. He's the only southern boy out of the group. The rest were northerners, Galileans. He's educated. He's got a whole different pedigree. He, coming from this area 25 miles south of Jerusalem, he's one of the 12. That shows you the intimacy he had with Jesus. It shows you the opportunity. He's always listed last when the names are given because of the deed that he would have done. But nonetheless, he's still one of the 12. He's the one who bore the bag. He's the treasure. He's the one whose name means praise, a derivative of Judah, the line that Jesus comes from. But he went to the chief priest to betray him, probably embarrassed after he was rebuked at dinner. And when they heard it, they were glad, and they promised to give him 30 pieces of silver. And he saw it. Now notice how this closes here, and this is another sermon in and of itself, how he might conveniently betray him. Can I tell you this? There is no way for you to conveniently betray Jesus. The Lord makes it so that there is no convenient way to betray him. You have to be staunch that you're going to. You have to be dogmatic that you're going to go the other way of Christ in order to be successful, because that is how much his spirit graciously comes after us and seeks to make worshipers out of us. We'll continue on with Judas the next time, but as we leave Mary, I want to say a couple more things. I want to leave you with this, because I think the fact that we are where we are on Sundays, where we were the last few Wednesdays in the Olivet Discourse, I want to take you to the marriage supper of the Lamb for a moment. Because what's wild is this. Mark 13, where we were the last few weeks, is the Olivet Discourse, this end time study. The study before that, in chapter 12, we were with another woman who gave her two mites, and the Lord was very pleased and blessed by her. Now, as we come out of the Olivet Discourse, we're greeted with another woman who the Lord is obviously, we spent the whole evening talking about, tremendously pleased by. So there's the cap ends. Both ends are these women that God is pleased with for the way that they gave what they gave. Not so much what was given, but the way that they gave what they were able to give and what the Lord had showed them to give. And I think of this one here tonight, I say to the Lord, I can't figure out which one I like better. I like both stories so much, both cap ends. But the Holy Spirit began to minister to me this latter cap end, this ending cap end, as we look at this woman, Mary, and this table and this scene. Going back to how we started, I think of, man, Lord, the end times. I think of after the rapture. I think of the marriage supper, when we're going to be at this big old table and we're going to be regathered with, in a feast-like setting, of those not just Bible characters and ultimately, obviously, not just Jesus. But imagine when we take a seat with our loved ones who've gone before us. Imagine, like for Mary and Martha, they got to take a seat with Lazarus, their once dead brother. And they got to be with him and say, that's the hope of the resurrection, isn't it? Like, think about the day that's coming when this is a big table, I mean, 17 plus people, that's a lot. But what is that table going to be like at the marriage supper of the Lamb, What is that going to be like when we fill that space? Can you imagine how loud it's going to be? Can you imagine the talking over of one another? And just the waiting for the story. Like, we picture Lazarus with this anticipation to tell his story of the recall after Simon the leper gets done talking about his limbs growing back. Imagine there, the exchanging of stories with all of the saints gathered together at home. And just like Mary here, it will be for us there, no regrets that we poured it all out for him. There'll be no regrets. There'll be no regrets that we live this life for Jesus. Right? I mean, there's just going to be this elation and celebration as we're home at the King's table. Crazy. Jesus, we pray as we endeavor, Lord, to close out another week. I mean, here we are, Lord, already making our way toward the end of June. Time is just, it's a vapor, like your word says. It's like sand in our hands, Lord. We can't stop it from falling out, Lord. It's here today, gone tomorrow, like a flower in the field, Lord. The brevity of it all, Lord, like it was said by Moses, Lord, teach us to number our days. Help us to know how to walk them out, Lord. How to live them out for your glory, for your honor, Lord. Because this life will soon pass. I mean, it just is the reality of it all. And it's only what we do for you that's going to last. So another Wednesday evening, Lord, where we're coming before you needy and broken and empty, and we're asking you to fill us up. We're asking you to fill our cups, Lord, to strengthen us, to give us the resolve to continue to put one foot in front of the other and to walk with you, to get up another morning earlier than normal if we didn't walk with you, to read your word, to see your face, to pray. Lord, all of these things, they gotta come from you. They're birthed by your spirit. They're not done by the natural man. We don't have it within us. It's gotta be you. So we're asking for that, Lord, as we walk out of this place on this Wednesday evening, Lord. As we're cognizant of the brevity of time, Lord, put it in our hearts to stay close to you and to learn more your ways. We love you, Jesus. And I think it's in total cooperation with the text that we sing praises to your name as we close this service. Let it bless you. Let it be like a sweet smell and aroma, like spikenard rising up in your nostrils, putting a smile on your face.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. My blood and water.